Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lauren Litton, host of Quick Take Ohio, a pre-recorded podcast highlighting Ohio's juvenile justice news. Al Gerhardstein joined us today to discuss developments in a federal class action lawsuit that was originally settled in 2008 by the state of Ohio. It stemmed from unconstitutional conditions of confinement for kids placed in the care and custody of the Ohio Department of Youth Services. Welcome, Al.
Hi, Lauren. How are you doing?
Great. Al, you're the lead plaintiff's counsel for the class action originally named SHV Stickrath, now SHV Reed. The settlement that emerged was truly a collaborative feat, but it's required ongoing monitoring and attention. For those people that are not aware of what an enormous undertaking that is, maybe you can briefly share what your life has been like for the past 6 years.
Well, it's a constant presence in our lives. Along with Kim Tandy and the Children's Law Center, we have worked on this every day, I have to say, in the last 6 years, because here's what you're doing. You're taking a very large organization, the Department of Youth Services, that at the time was running 8 different facilities and contracting with additional service providers and servicing over 2,000 youth. And what you're trying to do is use legal principles that we agreed to in the SH settlement and translate those legal principles and those aspirational goals into practical policies and procedures, and then once you have all those written out, into training materials that implement those policies and procedures, and then translate that into job performance goals and evaluation instruments, make sure it's implemented correctly, and that there's quality assurance to make sure that you've got a change in the culture. And that is a big job.
Yeah. Well, the SH settlement was framed by these principles that you just mentioned for what Ohio's juvenile justice system could look like, and it required numerous reforms, including improved staffing levels and training, revised use of force, seclusion, and discipline policies, improved health services, including mental health, which we'll be talking about, and enhanced education and transition services. And I do want to talk about the changes next, but for people who are not familiar with this case, can you just remind us what were the issues that initially led to the lawsuit?
Well, some of the biggest ones were release authority. For example, there was just no clear standard for when a youth would be able to be released from custody of DYS. And some of the reasons that youth would not be released were the failure of the system. A youth might have, for example, a requirement that they go through sex offender training. Then they come up before the release authority, which is the board of people that make decisions on when youth are ready to go, and they'd find out that the organization hadn't delivered sex offender training for those last 6 months. So the youth has been sitting there unable to get the services they need. That was one of the big issues, and we've really tried to clear that up so that there's a clear agenda for servicing that youth in a timely fashion. Education, special education, education for youth, and seclusion was a very big issue. Seclusion itself, we had special management units at Marion and ORV when we started. These were very severe units where youth were locked down 23 hours a day in pretty much windowless cells. It was a very severe environment that we had to work very hard to change and eliminate. Classification was a big issue. We had low-risk youth mixing in with higher-risk youth, and that would trigger our other issue, which is violence. There was just a lot of staff on youth violence. As staff needed better and more techniques for dealing with youth who were acting out, there was a lot of youth on youth violence, and that had to be addressed. Medical treatment, mental health treatment, both of those were big issues as well. So we had to tackle all of that at the same time while the facilities were full.
Yeah. So turning to some of the changes that have occurred on that enormous list, There has been a tremendous reduction in the average daily population of kids locked up in Ohio State correctional facilities. In 2008, there were more than 1,700 kids on average on any given day locked up, and in 2013, the average daily population was 535. What other changes have occurred?
And now it's down to about 450. Mm-hmm. So it's really gone down quite a bit, during that time. And we have closed 5 of the 8 facilities, and that's because we were able to lower that population. And that population was able to be lowered in part because of improved classification and an improvement in the delivery of community-based services so that some of those low-risk youth could be serviced back in the community.
Yet there's still challenges. What are those?
Well, the latest thing that we've really worked hard on is to continue to reduce violence and to improve the mental health treatment that's available to the youth. As we have reduced the population, the percentage of youth on the mental health caseload who are still at DYS has gone up because those mental health challenges trigger some of the conduct that we need to adjust before the youth can be released back into society. So we've really beefed up the delivery of mental health services, tried to enhance the opportunities for those youth. There's a mental health unit at Indian River. I was just there this week. The youth there seemed to be getting along very well. There was an excellent relationship with the staff. They were relating to each other well and peacefully, and that was all good to see. But while in the interviews that we just did on Monday and Tuesday of this week, we also noticed that there's still a violence issue. Seclusion is a big issue. One of the easy ways to address violence is just to lock the youth down. But when you lock youth down, then you create other problems that are triggered by youth being alone in their rooms and not relating and not having positive engagements. So we have to keep the seclusion low while keeping the violence low. And that's still a challenge. We're still working on that with DYS, but we're making the best of it, and I think we're making progress.
So early this year, the U.S. Department of Justice filed its own lawsuit asking DYS to stop practices of seclusion or solitary confinement on those suffering from mental health issues. How did DOJ become involved?
Well, DOJ's been involved at Scioto and Marion since we settled the SH case. But, of course, Marion and now Scioto have been closed. While we were working on the problems at Scioto, one of the main problems was the seclusion of youth. And as they transferred youth away from the Progress Unit, which was one of those special management units, DOJ chose to follow the youth and continue their litigation by alleging that these youth were over-secluded in the facilities to which they were transferred. At the same time, we had already filed a motion for enforcement of our SH decree because we agreed that there was over-seclusion involving those youth. So we had a very constructive series of negotiations with DYS and DOJ and the federal court earlier this year, and we came to a new resolution that was entered just about a month ago, and that's a new level of commitment to come up with creative programming to prevent violence, to reduce the use of seclusion, and then to have a very robust quality assurance program so that they can check as to whether the types of interventions they're using with youth are actually working. And if they are, great. If they aren't, there's a commitment in this new agreement to just get creative and do something else so that we can serve the youth the best possible.
For those listening in who may not be aware of what seclusion even is, and they're just thinking, okay, these kids have done something and they're being locked up. Why are these issues like isolation, seclusion, and individualized treatment of mental health needs so imperative for kids in the state's custody?
Because we have hope. We actually believe that youth can be, you can get involved with youth and do it in a way that helps them develop patterns of behavior that'll make it easier for them to be successful on the outside through cognitive behavioral therapy, through other types of therapies. Youth can find a way to relate to each other peacefully and not use violence. One of the easy ways to control youth in an institutional setting is to separate them and stick them in a room and lock the door. But that's also been proven through the research to make their conditions worse, to make their own personal behavior skills worse. And we don't want that. We don't want the institutionalization of these youth just to make them worse. We really want to have any of the interventions that are used to help them get on that path to reuniting with their families and their community in a positive way. So that's what we're doing. I mean, that's what this last core set of terms that we've negotiated with the state hopefully will tackle this most serious problem and create a situation where Ohio will be a state that others will look to for creative ways to deal with youth.
Great. And speaking about hope, is there any other hopes or final thoughts you'd like to share about the vision for juvenile justice in Ohio?
Well, our main goal is to serve as many youth in the community as possible. And one of the other features of our agreement has been to get the youth involved with their parole officer, with the person who will supervise them in the community, as soon as they enter DYS. The average length of stay is only 11 months, so we're working on reentry as soon as they come in. And with that, they'll never be estranged and totally isolated from their base in the community. That's a good thing, and that's another reason that I'm hopeful that Ohio will lead the country soon in coming up with creative ways to serve youth in a way that will keep the community safe and the youth productive.
Thank you, Al, for joining us today.
Oh, I was happy to do so. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you for all your hard work, and thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you on the next Quick Take Ohio.